Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. Let us pray. Most heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power, for your anointing, for everything that you've done thus far, everything that you're about to do in this place. I pray that you would take me out of self, place me into the Spirit, God, that you would have your way in this place unlike ever before, that you would speak to these, your people, and show them your kindness, give them your wisdom and your insight, and we'll bless your name now, henceforth, and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We bring you greetings from Rhema Water Restoration Ministries. God, we thank him for being the head of our life. We are honored to have this opportunity. We appreciate Dr. Smith for affording us this opportunity, for Dr. Rogers, for the staff, and everyone else that's a part of bringing us together here in chapel. We greet you all in Jesus' joy. It's not my intent to be before you very long, but in the short time that we have, I'm going to do my very best to share the mind and the heart of God as I believe that he has given it unto me to share with you all. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to one passage of Scripture, one verse of Scripture, rather, coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse number 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. I'm a little country preacher from a little town called Lynchburg, South Carolina, so I respond best whenever I echo a little bit and you give me a nod of the head or you say amen. That lets me know I'm doing pretty good, and then I'll get a little energy going, and then that'll help you to get going a little better. So if you want me to hush, then you just stay quiet, and then that means I'll feel that you have not gotten it and I need to sit down. So we're going to see what the Lord does on today. But Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. And the word of the Lord there reads, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." I'm going to use for the subject today the one word. It's called collaboration, the word collaboration. Now, there is, I believe, a symmetry between a word called unity and the word called collaboration. When you look at the term unity, the unity term, it actually means us coming and becoming one. When you look at collaboration, that means that you have two different individuals coming together to make something better, to produce something, something that was not there in the beginning. Now, the challenge that most of us have is getting to a place to where we have great collaboration and coming to a place of unity. What do you mean? Because we look at difference as something to divide rather than difference as something to unite. One thing that I found out is that oftentimes when we're going through life, we struggle with this whole thing called love. The reason we struggle with this piece called love is because when I look at an individual that does not accept my actions, I assume that they don't accept me as an individual. And that's just the opposite. Whenever love is expressed, what it does is it challenges us to become better. So I found out even growing up in school, some of my best teachers were not the ones that pat me on the back all the time, but it was those teachers that challenged me to become better. They looked at me and they said, "Carl, you need to stop goofing off in class," because I must admit, in class, I was the clown. I was the one that always entertained everybody else. They looked for me to bring joy to the class, especially when they didn't enjoy being in school. There was a class that I took years ago, and it was called physical science. And in that class, I didn't pay attention every day, but there was one day that I did pay attention because they told us we were going to have a test. Now, as we were going through that class, they started talking to us about the periodic table. And they told us on the periodic table, there are 92 elements. But there was something that baffled me about this whole concept of the periodic table. They tell me, they say that our bodies are made up of 95% water or even 80% water. But then when I looked at the periodic table, I did not see an element called water. Now, they told me in order for us to get water, it's a combination of two different elements. They says it's two part hydrogen and then one part oxygen. And I looked at that. I said, the most important element that we need to survive in the earth is not independent of itself, but it needs something else to come together along with it in order for it to be what it's called to be. Now, the challenge that we have in life is realizing that even though I'm great within myself, I cannot be as great as I was created to be if I don't connect with somebody else. That means that my life is not really as valuable as it could be if I don't pour it into another individual. The reason that we're all sitting here in this room, and those of you that are watching live by way of streaming, the reason that we're here is because we're trying to draw the best out of those that God's placed in our lives, and we're trying to invest the best of ourselves in them. Because when we come together now, my life challenges your life, and your life now challenges my life. One of the things that I've gone through in life is I've grown a whole lot. The reason I said I've grown a whole lot is because I made a whole lot of mistakes. And the truth of the matter is, when I looked at all of the mistakes that I made, most of the mistakes I made, they came from me being oftentimes overly fatigued. I found myself trying to do everything by myself, not using the people that God's placed around me. As I started to look at this and I started making more and more mistakes, one of the things that I started dealing with is I started to be withdrawn, because me by myself, personally, I am a person that is, quote unquote, a loner. I have to be intentional about connecting with people, because my personality, I grew up in a household where my sister was 8 years older than me, so she thought she was my mother. So I grew up as almost like a single, only child. So I learned how to do things by myself. So my go-to oftentimes is drawing away. And then when I found myself being fatigued, I would draw away, not realizing that I was putting myself into a position of isolation where the enemy could mess with my mind. One of the things that they taught me as a young man is that the enemy begins to use our mind as a playground. So what happens is whatever we get here is what we start to produce. They said, if your teaching has been wrong, then your thinking will be wrong. If your thinking is wrong, then what you begin to believe for will not be wrong, will not be right. If what you believe for is not right, then what you're going to be receiving is not going to be what you desire. So I had to change my thinking. I had to be intentional about connecting and going out and doing those things that I wouldn't have done by myself. I also learned early in school as well, is they told me, they said that growth cannot take place in isolation, but it can only take place in unity. And I found out it's the same when you look at strength. You cannot become stronger by yourself. Anybody that ever gone in the weight room, you'll try to lift heavy weight, but you can't do a whole lot of heavy weight by yourself. You need what we call a spotter. I understand if you want to get ripped, you want to get cut, you'll begin to use a whole lot of lightweight. But if you really want to gain strength, you need some resistance on you. And oftentimes when you're dealing with resistance, it requires somebody to give you a little nudge along the way. Now, when you think about partnership, partnership brings that into place. It causes us now to connect with somebody else that has something that we don't have. Now, whenever we're dealing with difference, what happens is now I have to identify that even though you are doing something different from how I'm doing it, does not necessarily mean what you're doing is wrong. It could mean that what you're doing is adding value to my life. You understand? So you think about Dr. Maxwell. He begins to talk about a leader adds value to individuals. So everybody that he connects to, his idea is to try to make them better. Partnerships come along to make people better. You now are trying to figure out how can I push them into their purpose. I think it was Mike Murdoch that says it like this. He says that he wants to turn around and allow his life to turn around and push somebody else into purpose. He says that what he's doing is he's investing himself in someone else, because in doing that, God is going to turn around and invest greater things in him. So collaborations are necessary. What do you mean collaborations are necessary? I told y'all earlier, I'm a little country boy from a town called Lynchburg, South Carolina. And even in Columbia, South Carolina, I still raise hens. I still raise chickens. So I have hens, and I found out something about hens. When they produce eggs, the eggs are unable to produce another chick if there is not a rooster involved. So that means that there had to be a collaboration between the rooster and also the hen. Now, as we deal with this whole concept of the scripture, I was talking to a rabbi one time, and he told me, he says, there is something that we need to understand. Everything that we need to know about creation can be found in the first 34 verses of the book of Genesis. He says, in the first 34 verses of the book of Genesis, he says, there are 92 different words. Now, that made me think back to the periodic table. He says, now, even though there are 92 different words, some of these words words are used multiple times. So when God was creating the entire world, he used 92 different words, but oftentimes he connected them different ways to produce what it is that we have. Now, when we deal with the text here in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, it tells us that God turns around and he deals with us. He says he formed man out of the dust of the ground, and that he breathed in the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul, or in the Hebrew, a living nephesh. That means God now says, in order for me to have occupancy here in the earth, there is something that I must do. I must connect earth with heaven. And I must cause these two to come together that it might express my will and my heart in the earth. In other words, he was saying, let us make man in Genesis number 1. And then in Genesis chapter 2, he turns around and he formed man and he breathed that idea into form. And he says, now they're going to have dominion in the earth realm. But the only way that they can have dominion in the earth realm is whenever heaven and earth now connect. Whenever we start praying, what we're doing is we're praying that the will of God that's in heaven be established right here in earth. That means that there must be a collaboration of two different worlds. Now, the challenge that we have is we try to be either earthy or we try to be spiritual only. But there has to be a collaboration of both, because when we begin to connect together, now we bring the glory of God into the earthly realm. As the singers were singing, what ultimately took place is, even though we were sitting right here on the earth, we were now experiencing a heavenly experience, because we could sense the presence of God now permeating in the atmosphere. God is so awesome until he now speaks to us in such an eloquent language. When you look at the term giraffe, the term giraffe has a symmetry when you look at it, because what happens is the word itself speaks to the expression of this animal. When you look at the term giraffe and you look at it expressed in the English language, it actually defines itself as long the neck. So whenever God's speaking to you and he's speaking to me, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get us to identify who we really are. What are you trying to say? He's saying he's trying to get us to identify who he's really, or we really are. He says, I made you in my likeness and after my image. What he was trying to tell us, he says, when you look at yourself, you need to identify yourself as being connected with me. You are the earthly form of who I am. Let me deal with it. When you look at the person of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us like this. It tells us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Then he gets down to verse number 14 and he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and true. Now, whenever God deals with you and I, the scripture tells us, it says, now are we the sons of God, but it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he reveals himself unto us, we shall be like him. What he was telling us, he says, the same expression that we saw walking on the earth in the person of Jesus, he says, I want you to have that same manifestation in this day and this hour. I know all of you are theological students and you're brilliant minds. You understand the whole concept of deity, meaning all God, but at the same time, all man. He tells us if he turns around and he allows his word, or we allow his word to occupy this earthen vessel, and that we would hide ourselves in him, he says we could ask him whatsoever we will and he would in terms give it unto us. So now he's saying, I need you to think like me, become one with me, become unified with me. Let's collaborate together and bring about the idea that I had from the foundation of the earth. I'm talking about collaboration. When you deal with what God is trying to do in this hour, God is trying to bring us to a place to where we realize, in spite of what we're dealing with right now, there's some things that we have not yet tapped into. He's trying to bring us to a place where we begin to bring the what we call the illuminated mind and heart of God and reveal it into the earth realm. What do you mean? That means God's mind is revealed unto us. God says, I've already done everything that I'm going to do, but I need you to grab hold to what I've done and express it into the earth realm. The Bible says it like this. He said that there are certain things that he hid from the prophets that were holy and the apostles that were holy of times old, and he's revealing it unto us in this day, in this hour. What I believe is that as we begin to collaborate together, we really find out who we are. When you look at who you are and I look at who I am, my identity and your identity comes from our experiences as in life. Most of the time we get our identity from what we do, but I'm not what I do. I am who I am. Oh my God. What do you mean? I'm who I am. I'm made in the likeness of God and after the image of God. So when God turned around and he created me to be like him. Well, let me deal with God for just a minute before I take my seat. What is this thing that we're dealing with? I'm made in the image of God after the likeness of God. God is a speaking God. He tells us like this. He says, speak those things that be not as though they were. So oftentimes we're snared by the words that come out of my mouth. Anybody have you ever gotten to the place where you're getting ready to take your final, and because you knew you didn't apply yourself the entire semester, you are in a place where you're frustrated, you're aggravated, you're nervous. You're saying, I don't want to get a bad grade. And then all of a sudden, the enemy tries to snare you with the words that come out of your mouth. It says, I hope that I don't fail this class. Well, instead of you speaking those things, how about open up your mouth and speak the words that you've been reading down through the semester? How about speaking the mind and the heart of God over your life, asking him to open up your understanding and give you wisdom and insight and revelation so that when you sit down to take the test, even though you know that God can do all things, you ask him to bring back to your remembrance those things that you've studied and you have not, you've forgotten. Begin to move to a place where he can illuminate his mind and his heart to you unlike ever before. I'm talking about collaboration. Whenever we're moving in the earth realm, what we've got to do is we've got to get to the place of realizing that God will only do what we begin to partner with him to do. What do you mean? He could not even occupy the earth realm without there being a collaboration between earth and glory. In order for him to occupy the earth realm for an extended period of time, he needed a body. Well, I'm here to let you know that he's using your body right now. That's why he says that I must go away that the comforter could come, because what he's going to do is he's going to be your paraclete. He's going to be back to back with you. He says, not only am I going to be back to back with you, but I'm going to live in you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to deal with you in such a way to where when I give you my instruction and you follow those instructions, what my idea is going to be performed right before your eyes. I'm still yet talking about collaboration. There's some things that God wants to do in this earth realm, and the only way it's ever going to happen, the way that he ordained for it to happen, is when you realize you need somebody else. Wow. That's good. As wonderful as our Savior is, in order for him to get here, there had to be a collaboration of earth and heaven. The Bible says that there was this virgin girl by the name of Mary, and the angel spoke to her and said, you've been highly favored. And she says, you're with child. She said, how can this be when I've not been with a man? He turns around and he says, this child is from the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, she receives the partnership. 9 months later, our Savior is born. He's born dealing with the flesh that he was clothed in, but the essence of God. And the scripture says it like this, that there was also another partnership that took place. It says that he learned by the things that he suffered. So God turned around and he used struggle in his life so that he can grow up. Why in the world would our Savior need to learn anything? Found out something. One of the greatest partnerships that we have in life outside of other people is experience. When I say experience, I'm talking about struggle and reward, because that's what God deals with us throughout this whole juncture that we call life. He takes us from struggle to reward. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Think about it. You get together with your spouse. You decide you're going to have a child. And all of a sudden, you enjoy the pleasures, and then there's 9 months of struggle. All of a sudden, attitudes start to change. That's if you're like my wife. Feet start to swell. All of a sudden, you have to start to get your wobble. And then everything gets real snappy. And then right before the child comes forward, there's great pain. And then a few moments after that, they say something that sounds like it's insane. I think I want another child. Do what? But go from struggle to reward. The collaboration. We need people and we need struggle. God uses all of this to bring us into the place of what we call unity.
Yes, yes.
We become like him. He now looks down and he sees himself, because that's what he's coming back for. A church without spot or blemish, not a facility, but the called out ones, the ecclesia. Those of us that are assembling together, the kahal. He's saying, that's what I'm looking for. Those that have chosen me to be the head of their life.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.